We are going to go ahead and get started tonight. I want to welcome back some of the people who were in the previous class, the six-week Mind-Body Basics class. Great feedback from that class, from people learning a lot about themselves and what was going on with their emotional eating and their cravings. And if you were not a part of that class, don't worry. You will learn a lot during the current class that we have going on, and you will also, somebody's trying to beep in, and I need that to not happen. Sorry about that, folks. Let me make sure my phone's on the right setting here. Give me just one moment. Okay, let's try that. And can everybody still hear me? Go ahead and say yes if you can.
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go back to the discussion. If you're new to this process and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't take part in the first six-week course, don't worry about it. I know that most of you, I'm meeting with you individually, and we'll cover that information as well. And soon we'll also have it possible for you to go back and do that class if you'd like to online. So we're just going to move forward with our new class, which is our Mind-Body Sugar Detox. And the reason I decided to do this class was because while it's great to do all the emotional work behind our eating, our cravings, and the emotions, and what's really going on at a deeper level, and it almost always goes back to that, the reality is that the nutrition part of your program is very, very important. And you can tap and meditate and pray and do all sorts of things. But the bottom line is, at some point, you really do want to have amazing nutrition going into our bodies, into your bodies. And so, optimally, we would combine great nutrition with mind-body work and moving our bodies, and then it will all come together. And I think that you will find that that happens, especially with this class. And being a dietitian, I feel, you know, especially able to let you know what's going on with your bodies as far as nutrition goes. And so, hence the sugar detox. And for many people, a sugar detox means we're going to get rid of all the candy, all the pop, all the treats. But it really means a lot more than that. What it really means is that we are going to try to get rid of the foods that are in our diets that really are not serving us very well. And what that means is a lot of the processed and refined stuff. And maybe some stuff that you hadn't thought about before, or maybe you've thought about it before, but you weren't really sure if you wanted to do that. For example, pasta and cereal and oatmeal and whole wheat crackers and so forth and so on. Even though some of those things sound fairly safe and benign, the bottom line is that anytime we eat a carbohydrate, whether it come from bread or cereal or rice or pasta or cookies or candy or soda or even fruit, anytime that we eat a carbohydrate, it is going to raise our blood sugar levels, which in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, except for our society and our world actually tends to eat way, way too many carbohydrates. And in return, our blood sugar levels spike very high, which then sends a signal to our pancreas to make insulin. And usually we end up having to overproduce insulin and make a lot to handle the amount of carbohydrate that we are taking in. And a couple of things happen when we have a rise in our insulin levels and in our blood sugar levels. The first thing that happens is that all of that extra insulin that we're making, it indirectly affects our brain chemistry. What it does is it ends up letting our brains make more serotonin. And as you know from the previous course, or if you haven't taken it, you'll find out, when we have serotonin in our brain, we tend to feel calm and we are much more happy. So by eating carbohydrates, we raise our blood sugar levels, we raise our insulin levels, and we make more serotonin in our brains, we feel happier, and then our brains say, wow, that was good, could we do that again? Which is a little bit scary, it works, is the problem. But the drawback then is, of course, we consume too many calories, too much sugar, and shortly a while after that, our blood sugar levels start to crash, and then we feel low. We might feel hungry again or be craving more carbohydrates, and very often then we feel bad about ourselves, and we get to start the cycle all over again. And for years, I think what has happened is that we basically have been, I hate to use the word lied to, advertised to, marketed to by lots and lots of agencies with their own agenda. Of course, people who sell products made with wheat want you to buy their products. People who sell products with sugar want you to buy their products. Oatmeal, all you have to do is slap on the label that oatmeal has some fiber and it lowers your cholesterol, and then you want to buy their product. And in reality, we have become a nation full of people who eat a lot of processed and refined foods, and that's catching up to us. Our rates of obesity and diabetes are epidemic. Our energy levels are low. We have lots of inflammation in our bodies. We have skin issues, and we just don't feel well. We have low energy. And at the same time that this was happening, that we were consuming too many refined processed carbohydrates, we were also cutting way, way back on the fat. I still remember myself, you know, 15 years ago, teaching some nutrition classes and telling everybody, as long as you eat low-fat bagels and rice cakes, you'll be fine. And I so wish I could go back and tell all those people that I was wrong, that that was not correct, because we know now that it's not true. We do need fats in our bodies. We need healthy fats in our bodies, but even that is controversial. So we are going to try to clear up some of that tonight as well. So just to kind of give you a little bit of background, we're going to be focusing on not having as many carbohydrates in our diet that come from junkier sources, and we'll be focusing on having real fats, healthy fats, lots of vegetables, lots of good sources of protein, vitamins, minerals, fiber, and so on. And I'll explain in more detail what that means, but for right now I'm going to turn on the Q&A and open it up for discussions. Okay, so if you have a question, now would be a great time to ask, and you can do so by pressing *6. if you have a question about what types of foods we'll be eating or which types of things I'll be asking you to stay away from during this 6 weeks program. If you're scared about something, if you had any feelings of deprivation or, oh my gosh, what did I sign up for? Now would be the time to raise your hand and ask your question. Or if you all just want to follow exactly what I say, and that's fine too. All right, good. We have someone raising her hand, and I can only imagine that you guys have questions, because I certainly had someone. I decided to start changing the way that I eat. So I'm going to unmute 2297.
It's Melinda.
Hi, Melinda.
Hey, you know about my bacon.
Yes, what about your bacon?
Can I have bacon?
You can have bacon.
And sausage?
And sausage.
Italian sausage?
I knew that was coming. Okay. So Melinda likes bacon, and actually I like bacon. Karen likes bacon as well. And so on this program, it's going to be interesting. We are going to have bacon. We are going to have sausage. But I am going to ask people to be very mindful of the type of bacon and the type of sausage that you have. For example, most bacon and sausage is highly processed. There are lots of preservatives. There are lots of nitrates and nitrites in them. And in addition to that, just being overall not good for you, all the different preservatives and chemicals, there's actually some research showing that some of those additives and nitrates and nitrites actually make it harder for people to lose weight. Basically, the liver has to detoxify anything that's foreign going into the body. So you're putting extra stress on the liver, and it may be affecting your metabolism. So in the email that I sent out tonight, you may not have had a chance to look at it yet, but I listed some different types of sausage and bacon. When it comes to bacon, Hormel actually makes a brand, And it is a brand that is made without preservatives and without nitrates and nitrites. And it is available at Fred Meyer. And if you look on the attachment, I've actually shown a picture of it. But if you can't see the attachment on your computer, it's the Hormel Natural Choice line. And it's natural meat with zero preservatives. They actually have bacon and I think some turkey and maybe some chicken. And you'll find that in the lunch meat section. So far, I have only found it at Fred Meyer, but it might be available. I'm thinking maybe at the new Winco when the Winco opens up. So looking for nitrate and nitrite-free bacon is very important. And I also included, if you would like sausage, there is a sausage that is available from Costco. And it is a nitrite-free sausage made by D. Artagnan, A-R-T-A-G-N-A-N. And you don't have to write that down. That's in your email as well. But it is free-range meat without preservatives, 100% natural, no nitrates, no artificial casings, and so on. So that is available at Costco. And those are the types of sausage and bacon that would be best for you.
Okay.
Does that make you happy?
That makes me very happy.
Okay, good. Now, I am going to throw in one little thing, if you don't mind me. Can I share about your bacon?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it means?
Yeah.
Are you willing to share that?
Yeah.
I can? Well, the bacon, so there's a wonderful book by Doreen Virtue, and it talks about cravings. And what it does is it goes through, and if you have a craving for a certain food, it will help you try to identify what emotion is going on behind that craving. And so I think it was extra stress and worry. Was that the emotion for bacon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
so
it was.
it's really no secret that any of us would have extra stress and worry. So if Melinda loves bacon, then what I would say is it's okay to go ahead and have the bacon, but the fact that you love the bacon gives us some clues that maybe there's a little bit of an emotional attachment to that bacon.
And I think
would that be accurate?
I think so, but it's something we never got. And when I could buy my own things, it's like I buy 2-ply toilet paper. And I buy real butter because
okay.
We never had that as a child.
Right.
And
now you can have it as much as you want to and so forth
yes.
and so on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I
so that's a really good point.
I haven't bought any bacon for the last 3 weeks.
Just because you haven't wanted any or?
Well, now that I'm talking about it, yeah, I haven't.
Okay.
Except for the last session we had.
Okay. Terrific. So what I'm guessing is that we actually did some emotional work that kind of calmed down some of your worries and concerns.
Yeah.
And so that need for bacon went away to some extent. So now if you wanted bacon simply because you like bacon and you like the taste of it and it's something else that you could have with a meal, that's a much nicer way to incorporate bacon into your life rather than having a love affair with bacon.
Yeah.
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 Good.
But
now we do have some healthier choices for you.
But that left hand, the eye thing that we did last time, that
the
made
what?
A difference. The eye thing where we pictured something that we loved and then
oh.
that we didn't like and
okay.
where things moved in our mind.
Yes.
That made a difference, I think, too.
Oh, good. Okay. So good. So now I would say you have a healthier relationship with bacon.
Yeah, I think
good.
So.
Very good. And then for the rest of the callers, it is okay to have bacon, and it's okay to have sausage. I would just encourage you to get the most natural kind you can with the fewest preservatives. Okay. Any other questions about fats or anything, Melinda?
No.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we're still on the Q&A, and as long as we're talking about fats, let me go ahead and just tell you that the types of fats that we will be using in this program are real fats. They are not fake fats. They are not blended fats. These are real fats from nature. And so what that means is that I'm going to be asking you to eat butter and coconut oil and olive oil. And, of course, nuts and seeds. And what I'm going to be also asking you is to not have margarines and other butter substitutes and different blends. There is some amazing research when it comes to real fats, and coconut oil is one of the ones that is in the spotlight right now as far as being very, very healthy for you. There actually is some research that coconut oil may help you to burn fat faster from your body. We metabolize it very quickly, and it is a good source of energy. It can help you feel full. It may boost your immune system. It is a saturated fat, which in the past scared lots of people because we assumed that all fats, well, the American Heart Association actually assumed that any saturated fat was a bad fat, and now we are finding that that is not necessarily true. So when I say, everybody, let's eat some coconut oil and olive oil and real butter, any questions or comments about that? And if you do, go ahead and press *6. Or even if you're just really happy because, yahoo, we get to have real butter. Or what the heck is coconut oil and where do we get it? Any questions on that? Anybody like real butter? I'll have to raise my hand. Okay. All right. Good. We have a question from 2903. Okay, you are unmuted.
Yeah, Karen, I do have exactly what you just said. Where do you buy coconut oil? What form does it come in? And are there different qualities? What kind of specific things you need to look for in a good quality coconut oil, and where do you get it?
Perfect. Good question. The best place in town to get coconut oil is, surprisingly, Fred Meyer. Costco. And it is a solid. It comes, at Costco anyway, it comes in a big white, I don't want to call it, like a plastic jar. It's probably 12 inches high by 6 inches wide. It's a white plastic jar. And it's a white solid. And the coconut oil that they have there is organic. So it's actually a very decent quality coconut oil at a very reasonable price. I think that's going to cost you maybe $12 or $14 for this huge container of coconut oil, whereas the last time I checked at Winco, it was $6 for a teeny tiny jar. So you definitely want to, if you're looking for, you know, how to save some money, you want to check out Costco. And it will keep a really long time, so even if there is just one person in your family or if there are several, you should be okay buying a container of it.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. And by the way, it's yummy. It has a very mild, kind of a sweet, nutty flavor and aroma to it. And so when you cook in it, it's like, ooh, that smells good, and I think that's going to taste good. The only caution with coconut oil, as with most any other oil, is that you don't want to heat it to super high temperatures. So you can saute things in all of your oils, but you want to keep the temperatures on the medium to medium low side rather than what I do when I'm in a hurry and crank it up to high and try to cook the vegetables in like 1 minute. It would be better to keep the heat a little bit lower, and certainly don't let it ever start smoking. Once the oil starts smoking, you're really destroying a lot of the health benefits and actually can turn it into a not-so-good oil anymore. But the coconut oil, surprisingly, and I'll send us out with the email some of the health benefits, the coconut oil can actually give you some energy and help you to feel full at the same time. So I do know a couple of people that if they get hungry for a snack in the middle of the afternoon, they will just go have 1 or 2 teaspoons of coconut oil, just plain. I have not done that yet, but I'll leave that up to one of you guys to try it. But I know a couple people who do it, and they really like it. So what the heck, it's worth a try. All right, I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute, 2903. And any other questions about olive oils or using real butter, coconut oil? Anybody not okay with incorporating some of these real fats into their diets? Good. Everybody seems to be okay. And on that note, the next thing I want to talk about is making sure that we're going to also use a lot of nut butters, like almond butter, cashew butter, sunflower seed butter, and real peanut butter. And to be honest, a few years ago I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to buy real peanut butter. I don't want to have to keep it in the refrigerator. I don't want to have to stir it up and so on and so forth. But the truth is that most regular peanut butters that are on the shelf are going to have added sugars. And they are also going to have some hydrogenated fats, both of which can make it very tricky to lose weight and certainly are not good for your health. So if you haven't tried any of the other nut butters, now would be a really good time to try them. You can get them at Fred Meyer or at Winco, and I'm sure Albertsons and Smith and other stores have them as well. But now you can get almond butter, and it's basically ground almonds turned into a peanut butter type texture. Cashew butter, sunflower seed butter is one of my favorites. It's very creamy and easy to spread, and it has a very good flavor. And then, of course, there's real peanut butter. And you will need to keep those in the refrigerator, but those make an excellent snack. So say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 3 o'clock, and you're starting to get a little bit low on blood sugar, and maybe you're thinking about a cookie or some crackers or a treat. One or two tablespoons of a nut butter would serve you very well at that time. All of the nut butters are going to contain just a few carbohydrates naturally, which is great. We do need a few carbohydrates at that time. They will also contain fiber, which, pardon me, helps to keep those carbohydrates from hitting the blood so quickly and keeps your blood sugars a bit more balanced. They contain protein, so they're a very good source of healthy protein, and they contain extremely healthy fats. So as far as like an all-around perfect food, nut butters are right up there. They've got everything, protein, fats, carbohydrates, and some fiber. And I very often, I keep a jar of sunflower seed butter at my office, and if I'm hungry or on the go and I just need something quick, I'll just stick my spoon in there, grab up a tablespoon, and eat it up right off the spoon, and then I'm good to go for several more hours. So really good snack. Any questions on any of the nut butters? Anybody try them? Anybody not try them? Anybody excited to try them? They're really, really delicious. Okay. We do have a question here. 9078. You are unmuted.
I tried the sunflower seed butter. It was kind of greasy.
Greasy?
Yeah. Even though, I mean, it was like oily on top, and I took a spoon of it, and it made it dribbled on my shirt, actually. But, you know, so I didn't expect that. I thought it would be more dry or less oily.
Oh. Did you mix it up really good?
No.
Yeah, that's what you have to do with all of these that come. The real nut butters, the oil will actually separate from the rest of the butter part. And so you've got to stir that up for a good 2 to 3 minutes to get it really all blended together. And then it will usually stay stirred up, but if you let it sit for, you know, a week or so, you may have to get it a little bit more stirred up. And if you don't, what you said will happen, it will be really oily on the top, and then the bottom, towards the bottom of the jar, will be very dry, and it will be yucky. So you may have to just try again, but really stir it up a bit.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good question. Sometimes when we incorporate new foods, we have no idea what to do with them. And to be honest, that brings us to our next food, which is a wonder food, and that is avocados. And I laugh because for years I would not eat avocados. I thought they were disgusting and slimy, even though I had never really tried one, which is a bit embarrassing to admit, but it's true. And so when I did buy avocados, I really had no clue what to do with them or how to eat them. And now I know a lot more about them. Avocados are an amazing superfood. They contain about 200 calories, which is really not that many calories. If you think about it, you could have two little cookies or a few crackers, and you would be at 200 calories in just a few moments. So eating an entire avocado is a fabulous idea, although that's scary to a lot of people. But again, the type of fat that is in avocados is very healthy, and our bodies need that fat. It's almost like your body knows, okay, here comes the fat from the cookies. No, I don't know if I really need that. I think I'll just store it. Versus, oh, here comes the fat from the avocado. Let's see, I can use that for this part of my metabolism or to make some healthy cells, so on and so forth. So eating avocados is a really good idea. Some things that you want to remember when you have an avocado. When you slice it open, the part of the avocado that is closest to the skin is kind of a slightly different green color. It's usually darker green in color. That is where so many of the vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants are. So you really want to take care to get that part of the avocado. So generally, if you cut it in half and remove the pit, if you use a spoon, you can scoop out the avocado, or you can actually peel the avocado to make sure that you are getting the most healthy fat from it. So as far as avocados go, some of you have heard me say this before. Everybody gets freaked out about avocados, and we better not eat, you know, don't eat the whole avocado. Maybe we can have a half an avocado and so on. But as I write a book, I have several books, of course, in the works. One of them is going to be called Eat the Whole Damn Avocado. And then the other one is going to be called Eat the Whole Damn Banana. Because the reality is I have been doing this nutrition and exercise and weight loss thing for years. And I have never, ever, ever had anyone come to my office and say, oh my gosh, Karen, I've just become so overweight or obese, or I developed diabetes because I ate too many avocados. It just doesn't happen. So we really want to start shifting our thinking away from being afraid of some of these fats to really embracing them and understanding that they can not only help us lose weight, but they can help improve our health overall. So any questions about avocados? Everybody feel okay eating one? If I said you could eat one avocado every day, does that give anybody any anxiety? Yay, it looks like everybody is pretty okay with avocados. Fabulous. So eat away with avocados. All right. So I think that covers a lot of what we were going to talk about with the fats. The fats are going to be very, very important. The other thing that we're going to work on with this program is protein. And one of the main focuses is that each meal is going to be built around about 4 ounces of protein. And again, this is going to be in your email, but just so everybody understands, that can be eggs or chicken or turkey or lamb or beef or pork or seafood or a protein powder. But we really want to focus on having adequate protein at every meal. And a couple of reasons for that is, one, protein helps you to feel full. And two, we need protein for our bodies to make cells for our immune system. We need it to build muscle. We need a protein to break down into little amino acids so we can make some healthy neurotransmitters in our brains. So we really do need protein. When we are talking about protein, I would advise everybody, as far as meat or fish goes, to buy as organic as possible. And I know sometimes that raises the stress level for people, or it might be out of their budget. So just do the best you can on this. The problem is when we don't buy quality meat, the animal may have been fed a bunch of antibiotics or fillers, and then that is passed on to us. And again, there's some research showing that that makes it harder for us to lose weight. The other thing about seafood is, and I just read this the other day in the Nutrition Action newsletter, a farm, like farm-raised salmon, for example, the recommendation now is that we only have farm-raised salmon once per month. It used to be once a week, and now it's once per month, because they're finding levels, high levels of PCPs, which is a toxin in that salmon, which also makes it harder to lose weight. And not that it's all about weight, but sometimes all of these little factors add up. So it's really recommended that fish be wild-caught and that meat be farm-raised and as organic as possible. And fortunately, more and more stores are recognizing this and having that available for their customers. So any questions on the protein sources, the organic, the meat, so on and so forth? And while you're thinking of questions, I will also throw in there that when we're looking at protein powders, because some of the days will include smoothies if you decide to have them, I would like to steer everybody away from soy protein powder and soy protein products. Soy is one of those crops that has been extremely genetically modified, and there are probably thousands of reasons why we should not eat genetically modified food, although it may become harder and harder to avoid it. But, again, it goes back to our health and our hormone levels and our weight and so on. So I'll send this out in a subsequent email, but for protein powder, I really lean towards a brand that Fred Meyer called Plant Fusion. Some of you have seen this in previous smoothie recipes, but it is a protein that comes from plants. And so there isn't any soy. Well, the soy is a plant, but there isn't any soy. And there isn't any dairy in it as well, which we're going to talk about here in a second. So any questions on the protein sources? Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about vegetables a little bit. And again, vegetables, hold on a second, let me go back. We do have a question. Okay, 5426, you are unmuted.
I didn't catch that about soy and this other protein you were talking about.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
You were talking about soy protein is not good, and then another kind of protein. I thought you said soy protein was bad, then I thought you said it was good. Then I heard something.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
Sorry, no. In general, I would say soy is bad. I would avoid soy protein, and I would avoid like soy chicken nuggets and soy hamburger and so on. The soybean has just been so genetically modified over the last several years, and there's some research emerging now that genetically modified foods may be bad for our health, but also may make it harder for us to lose weight. It may mess up with our hormones as well, especially estrogen. So I think the research is somewhat controversial, but it's leaning towards soy being not a good thing. And since there are other options for protein powders, I usually steer people away from a soy protein powder.
So you were talking about a different protein powder?
Yes, there is a protein powder that's available at Fred Meyer. And the name brand of it is Plant Fusion, F-U-S-I-O-N. And it's just an assortment of various proteins from plant sources. And what I like about this protein powder is that it doesn't have that kind of chalky or gritty taste. It's very smooth. When I add it to smoothies, for example, I can't even really tell it's there. Whereas when I add other protein powders, it's like, ooh, I don't want to add this. It's going to have that chalky, gritty taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Does that help? You're so welcome.
Yes.
Okay. All right. On the vegetables then, going back to the vegetables, of course, the more vegetables, the better. Vegetables are going to be an important part of your meals, and truthfully, they can be an important part of breakfast and lunch and dinner. You know, if you make some smoothies, they can be part of your breakfast if you have that for breakfast, but also a lot of the recipes will call for some eggs or sausage or so forth, and they will include some vegetables as well. So what I'm asking everybody is just to be really open to some new ideas about vegetables and some new ways to prepare them, and then also some new recipes for them. Okay, let's talk about fruit a little bit. And fruit is definitely a part of this program. Fruit can be a very, very healthy source of carbohydrates and fibers if it's done right. And I put in the email tonight, for example, if you're looking at a serving of fruit and you choose grapes, 12 grapes make up one serving, and they have about 15 grams of carbohydrate. And I don't know about you guys, but eating 12 grapes is not hard to do. I would call a serving size about 45 grapes, which would be really four servings or so. Whereas if you eat berries, for example, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, and so on, a serving size is about 1 cup. So you're actually going to get more bang for the buck. You will get more fruit when you choose something like berries, more fiber, and so overall the effect on your blood sugar is going to be less. I really don't want to discourage anybody from eating fruit. I just know from experience that sometimes the amount of fruit that we have can be high, especially when we really start to look at serving sizes. However, for this program, fruit is an important part of it, and it serves as a good source of carbohydrates. So I do want to encourage you to have some fruit, but just to use some caution with the fruit. But it is included with a lot of the meals, and it's included in the smoothie recipes as well. So any questions about fruit? You can go ahead and press star 6. Of course, you would want to use fresh or frozen fruit and avoid canned fruits. Even if they're canned, not in sugar, they're going to be highly processed. Okay. Oh, we have a question. And Melinda, go ahead, please.
What about, like, the cutie oranges?
Uh-huh.
The little ones?
Yeah.
Those are
fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
pineapple.
If they're small enough, you might even get away with having a couple of those.
And what about things like pineapple or watermelon or cantaloupe?
Yep, those are going to be fine. The only problem with those is that you want to pay attention to the serving size. So in general, somewhere between a half a cup to 1 cup of fruit is considered a serving.
Okay.
And I know for a lot of people, eating 1 cup of watermelon and stopping is like a joke. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So we tend to eat more is the problem. So it depends on your goal. If your goal is weight loss, then you want to pay a bit more attention to the fruit than if your goal is more to improve your health. But the plans are both going to improve your health. But definitely carbohydrates and blood sugars play a big role in weight loss, and so that is where it becomes a little bit more important to pay attention to those serving sizes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so that's a little bit on fruit. Okay. Basically, you guys are probably starting to see that what we're doing with this program is really getting away from processed and refined foods. And one other thing that we are avoiding during this time, as you probably figured out, is wheat. Is wheat. So there really isn't any pasta or cereal or bread or cookies or crackers on this program. Now, what I'm going to suggest, because I'm guessing that that might bring up some emotions or some opinions or fears or anxieties, this program is certainly yours to do with what you want to, and if that just makes you crazy, then it's still a free country, and of course you are totally able to eat whatever you want to. What I would say is that if you can, really consider giving this a try for 2 weeks. This is a six-week program, and we'll really hit hard on the nutrition for the first couple of weeks, and then after that, we can see how different foods fit back into your diet, and you'll be able to do some experimenting to see. For example, let's say everybody goes without pasta for the next 2 weeks, and no pasta, no bread, no cereal, no crackers, and so on. That will really give your chance of body to get used to metabolizing better without it. Your energy levels, which should feel better. You might notice a decrease in any nasal congestion or headaches or muscle aches and pains, or just a general feeling of feeling better. For many, many people, wheat and gluten are a problem, and they just cause some systemic inflammation. But for some people, that is not the case. So let's say at the end of the 2 weeks' time, you go, gosh, that was fine, but I would really like to have some pasta for dinner tonight, or I would like some bread, or whatever the case may be. Then what I'll be asking you to do is just to really pay attention to how you feel on that food. But you are going to need, 10 days to 2 weeks of being off of that particular food before you incorporate it back into your diet. And that's really what you would do for an allergy diet or any other diet where you're trying to decide if that food is working well for your body, is you basically eliminate it and then you add it back in, but you are very mindful about how your body reacts to that. So I know for myself, and I didn't really want this to be true, but now I'm okay with it being true, pasta does not work well for me. And this is coming from a person who grew up on buttered noodles with tons of salt. And that was like my favorite dinner of all time. And so even when I started to improve my eating habits, I thought, well, that's fine, but I'm never giving up pasta. But I did, as part of a program that I'm doing and that I'm encouraging you to do. And then I noticed that when I put the pasta back in, I felt more bloated and my energy levels were decreased and a couple of pounds came back on, and it wasn't even really that much food. And I thought, oh, gosh, this can't be true. So then I would go off the pasta again and stay off that for a couple weeks, and then I would add it back in, and sure enough, same thing happened. So I think that what that is showing me is that food just does not work very well for my body. It doesn't mean that I can't ever eat it again, because I might, but I don't like the bloaty feeling, and I don't like the low energy. And I also don't like that whenever I eat pasta, if I have a little bit, then I've got to have more and more. So this is going to give you a chance to figure out really what works for your body and what doesn't work for your body. And for some of you, it may work fine, and for others, it may not work very fine. So I'm guessing that talking about the grains and the pasta and the cereal and the crackers and so on, of course, that includes cookies and donuts and all that stuff. If you may have some thoughts or comments or anxieties about that. So if you do have some questions or comments, please go ahead and press *6 to raise your hand, and we'll address those. Okay. Oops. All right, 2903, you are unmuted.
Hey, Karen, does like white rice or any kind of rice fall under that same category as the pasta?
Rice does not generally contain gluten. So no, in that sense it doesn't. But rice is tricky because 1/3 of a cup of rice has 15 grams of carbohydrate, which basically means 15 grams of sugar. and I just read another, it was awful, I just read another interesting study about rice and the levels of arsenic in rice, as if we don't have enough to worry about. And this, again, comes from the Nutrition Action newsletter, which is a fairly reputable source. And they recommended that we really only eat rice maybe once a month, which was actually news to me. So rice doesn't have gluten, so it's not going to react exactly the same in your body. But it is a carbohydrate, and it actually does not have a ton of nutrition. So for this, you know, at least for this first 10 days to 2 weeks, I would encourage you to not have rice as well.
And does brown rice fall into the same category?
Yes, brown rice does. And I'm glad you brought this up, because what happens is that we have been led to believe that brown rice or whole wheat pasta or whole grain bread, you know, as long as we're eating those foods, that we're okay. But the reality is that those foods still contain a whole bunch of carbohydrate. So if you put a piece of white bread next to a piece of wheat bread, the main differences would be the wheat bread will have a little bit more fiber, maybe 1 or 2 more grams, which is nice. And there will be a few more vitamins and minerals and some antioxidants. But overall, there is not a huge difference in their nutrition. The brown rice or the whole grain is not like 100 times superior to the white rice or the white bread or the white pasta. And I think that, I think we've been misled by the food industry and by the people who make the products. And even the FDA and the Food by Pyramid, you know, promotes that we need 6 grains and make, or 6 servings a day and make them whole grain and so forth. But to be honest, you guys, so much of that is driven by money and by politics. The group who has the most money gets the biggest spot on the food pyramid. And also, it's all about paying farmers for different crops and cash. And while we have an abundance of corn this year, we better make corn be the number one food in our country. So the other reality is that those products, like the grains, especially the whole wheat, there's a good book called Wheat Belly, which I've heard a lot about. I haven't had a chance to read all of it yet. But the wheat that we have now is so much different than the wheat that was on our planet even 50 years ago. Between genetically modified crops and pesticides and farming practices, the wheat product that we have now is very adulterated. It's not even the same as it was 50 years ago, which is very sad. And we did that because we could produce, you know, a lot of product and make it cheap. But it's kind of backfiring a little bit and showing up as some health problems. So if wheat was the same as it was 50 or 100 years ago, we'd probably be fine. But it appears that it's not. And so that's where we need to use more caution. And same with a lot of the other crops. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And another question about oatmeal. Same thing about oatmeal?
Yes. Oatmeal makes me crazy because the reality is that fiber helps to lower your cholesterol. There's no doubt about it. When we eat fiber, if we eat enough fiber, it directly reduces your cholesterol. And so years ago when oatmeal became popular, a great way to sell the product was to put that it had fiber in it and that would help reduce your cholesterol. And being a dietitian and also having a product that's in a store, I have a muffin and a cookie mix that's in a store, I know very much about what you can put on the label and how to make it sell and how to make it appealing. And so anytime something has fiber or reduces your cholesterol, people are going to tend to want to buy it. But let's say, for example, you have a serving of oatmeal and it contains 30 grams of carbohydrate, which is about an average serving, and it has 4 grams of fiber, which is actually a decent amount of fiber. You do get to subtract that fiber from the total carbohydrate, so now you have 30 grams minus 4 grams of fiber, which is 26. So you're having to count 26 grams of carbohydrate for that serving of food. That is still a lot of carbohydrate. And basically all the rest of those 26 grams of carbohydrates, when you eat them, they are metabolized and they end up as sugar in your blood. Let's compare that to, say, an avocado. An avocado has 8 grams of fiber and virtually no other carbohydrate. It's mostly healthy fat and fiber. So if you are looking for a way to reduce your cholesterol and increase your fiber, you should eat an avocado instead of the oatmeal. We've been totally duped by Quaker. Kind of sad, huh?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, I'm going to unmute 5426.
Hi. So I've been looking at these breakfasts that you recommend, and they have a lot of eggs in them and vegetables, and that's great. But I find that when I eat a lot of eggs, I burp them and I don't feel good. I can eat them, you know, like a couple times a week, but it doesn't. But if I have Dave's Killer Bread with peanut butter on it, I'm good.
Okay.
That and a glass of milk and I'm good.
And then you don't have burps from that?
Yeah.
Okay. What I would say is then, that is actually really good that you are listening to your body and noticing what's going on. I can't say for certain why you would have that or if there's something else. What do you usually have with the eggs?
Well, I made your little egg cups and they were really good, but it still happens. Eggs are something that I've been funny with my entire life.
Okay.
I just don't like them. I like them occasionally. But I'm liking them better, but it's just not my thing.
It's not, okay. And there are a few other people that have talked to me about eggs before. I like eggs on the menu because they're relatively inexpensive. They're a good source of protein. And overall, they are good for you. But some people, they just don't work for. So what I would say for you is to focus on the smoothies and then maybe focus on the breakfast meats with the vegetables for breakfast instead. And maybe you would have eggs once a week and dilute them very much with the vegetables. Have you had them with avocados?
Yeah.
Does it still do the same thing?
It's just eggs. It's like an aftertaste, and they come up later. And I've learned to like red peppers. My husband said, I'm really glad to learn that red peppers taste good, because I thought all peppers were nasty. But when I put those in the eggs, they taste good, but they come back too.
Okay. All right. To be honest, we might even want to do some tapping around eggs. There may even be just a little block going on. I'm not sure if you have anything, you know.
Maybe.
Some egg history in your background. But there are certainly other things to choose from besides eggs. But I would say for now, even though Dave's Killer Bread sounds okay, it's still very wheat-based. It has a lot of really good things in it.
Yeah.
But it's still for the next 2 weeks, I would say still try to avoid the bread, and maybe you would have, did you say you have it with peanut butter?
Yeah.
Okay. So you might have for breakfast, you might have peanut butter on celery and some fruit.
Okay.
I hear the excitement in your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. And so what we're going to do next week is spend some time doing some tapping, because breakfast tends to be the hardest place for people to give up some of the breads because we're used to toast or cereal or that kind of thing. But the reality is that usually those foods are not serving us very well. And so notice what emotions come up with you for the week. That's why it's nice to be doing the EFT along with the nutrition, because I can tell you all of this, but then if you're like, not doing it, then you don't have the emotional support that you need, then you probably won't be as successful. So pay attention to the emotions. Like right now, I had just said, you know, have some celery with peanut butter and some fruit for breakfast. And even over the phone, it's like, wow, that sounds great.
I know. I don't like, I never like celery. There are other vegetables that I like, but that's like, really?
No, it doesn't have to be celery. Let me throw this out. How about red peppers with sunflower seed butter?
Well, they're the ones I burnt, too.
Okay.
I slice them, but they come back bad, too.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know why.
All right.
And part of what I'm thinking, I'm sorry, is that I had heard once a long time ago that if you came up with, like, one, two, or three things that you like for breakfast, maybe this came from you, that they typically people eat the same thing, and then you're just set for a long time. It's just, you know, you just know what you're having for breakfast. And so I came up with this thing that works. And now you're seeing change. I'm like, oh, but it works.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the time where we're just going to experiment with some other stuff. I never would have thought. The other morning I had three eggs and two oranges for breakfast. It was the weirdest thing ever. But it's what sounded good, and it was so very satisfying. So if you think about it, the eggs offered some protein and some fats, and I cooked them in butter. And then the oranges offered some carbohydrates and some fiber. And I was full for like 5 hours.
Huh.
But I 5 years ago I would have thought, what the heck are you having for breakfast? That's so weird, Karen. But here's the deal, guys. What we've been doing isn't working or hasn't been working. So we have this amazing opportunity to do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
I will work on it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for sharing.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and mute that. And let's see. I think we're getting, how time flies. We're getting close to the 8 o'clock hour. And so I'm going to finish up just a little bit here by saying a couple of other things about how the program will work. I sent you an email tonight that gave you some ideas about what we're going to be doing, but I'm going to send some very extensive recipes and some shopping lists, but at least that will get you started. We're actually going to start the food stuff on Monday, so this gives you some time to think about it, some time to plan, some time to get to the store. And also some time for some emotional issues to come up and to be aware of those. With the menus, I'm including what I call the family-friendly version because I know some of you have others in your household that you have to be concerned with about their food, and they may not want to eat exactly the same as you. So, for example, if there is a meal, I think at one point there is some hamburger, or some other meat, I will give you some options that the rest of your family may be able to do, like serving it with some crackers or serving some real pasta on the side. And then you would just get to choose to not have that part of it if that's not too hard for you. And I think you'll find that it's actually not that bad, especially if you do some tapping around, putting really nourishing things into your bodies. But I do respect that some of you have to cook for others in the house, and so we'll try to include some family-friendly versions in all of this as well. I also am including a link for a meditation challenge, and this is optional, but I think it's a great way to start the day. Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey are actually offering a 21-day meditation challenge. It's free, and really by the challenge it just means that they're challenging you to meditate daily, and I gave you a link for that. And you can have that either show up on your phone or on your computer, but it's a really nice way to start the day, either with some tapping or some meditation or something like that, just to get in the right frame of mind. All right. Any other questions or comments before we wrap up tonight's call? Go ahead and press star 6. And if you can't think of any questions right now, I want you to always feel free to shoot me an email, and I can answer your questions that way. And again, just be expecting more menus and recipe ideas by the weekend. And if we don't have any more questions, then I am going to unmute everybody. And I'll give everybody a chance to say good night. And thank you so very much for being on the call.
Karen?
Yes.
Thanks, Karen.
I have a question. Coffee?
Sure. Coffee. Yes, coffee. And what I would suggest is some almond milk. Thanks for bringing that up. There is not a lot of dairy for the first few weeks in this program, so some different reasons for that. So if you can get by with just black coffee, that is fine. Tea is fine. Lemon in your water is great. But maybe avoid the cream and the sugar and the milk and that kind of thing.
Nope, I drink black coffee, so that's good.
Well, more power to you, girl. I'm not there.
Okay, good.
All right.
One more question.
Anybody else? Yes, sure.
The 4 ounces of meat, could that be like lunch meat, you know, like turkey lunch meat, you know, like deli lunch meat?
Yes, if it's going to be lunch meat, though, right at the beginning I talked about using the Hormel brand because it doesn't have the nitrates and the nitrites and the preservatives.
Okay.
So Hormel makes a natural brand, and that is included at the end of your email. And that's the one that I would suggest. The rest of the lunch meat is pretty yucky. It's pretty artificial with lots of preservatives and everything else in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Anybody else? All right. Well, good night to everybody then. And I look forward to sending you some more emails, and we'll be back on the call next Tuesday.